Welcome to Far Out with Faust. I'm Faust Chicho, and today I'm sitting here with a man who I've known for a few years, a friend of mine, incredible guy. His name is Michael Pichadze, and Michael has studied and worked in the field of psychophysics and is a practicing psychological physicist. He invented a remarkable program called the NLS Matrix Decoder and the hardware that goes with it. And what this does is it decodes the wave frequency of each organ on a cellular level. And the program is so comprehensive that it allows for the analysis of the energetic field and the aura of the human body. And it detects imbalances in the body, and anywhere it finds it, it instantly sends correctional codes to adjust the balance of the energetic state. And I've known Michael for a few years, and it's remarkable technology. I'm so excited. And there's so much more that he's invented and we're going to talk about it. Michael, thank you so much for being here, man.
It's my pleasure.
Great to have you. So excited to get into this. I mean, you are so perfect for Far Out with Faust. I was like, oh my God, I'm going to call Michael.
Well, thank you for thinking of me.
Yeah. So, you know, let's jump into it. You know, just so I got a little background. Tell us about what you've been working on and kind of, you know, how this came about. Like, did you start, were you interested in this from childhood or?
No, actually, you know, we all start certain things when certain things happen in our lives. What happened to me is I got very sick at the early stage of my life. I was about 37, 38 that I got sick. And I had no way of treating myself in the United States. So I reached out to my colleagues to Russia, and they asked me to move to Russia for a couple of years to study there. So I started actually not with psychophysics. I studied with quantum medicine. I studied quantum medicine, and it was all theoretical, what you can do, what you cannot do, what should work, what shouldn't work. And me as a logical person, I said, this is not good enough for me. I need to get to the root of if it really works or doesn't. You don't want to live 10, 15 years assuming that this is works or doesn't. So I found another colleague of mine who was Professor Nestor, who actually is the inventor of the nonlinear analysis. It's an Institute of Practical Psychophysics in Omsk, Russia. And I went to study there. I studied psychophysics. It means that we could measure everything that is invisible. Mm-hmm. Okay, so everything is measurable. There's measurable issues like, let's say, like the remote control to the television. You sit on one end of the thing and you press the button, the television goes on. And today you actually can do the same thing with the cars. You have the key and you put the thing on with your iPhone and the car goes on. All this is psychophysics. It's physics because we're sending a particular signal to a particular area. Right. That area of, let's say if it's a cellular body of the television or the car, it gets a signal, turns itself on. The same way we are. We are as a computer. Our bodies as a computer. Every organ has a particular wave frequency, and imagine we can measure it. Technology is moving forward. It's continuous improvement. Mm-hmm. So we have to be a little bit more open. It's not like it was 100 years ago when you had to go to a different place to make a phone call. Today, we can talk, we can actually be on a Zoom. So this is advancements of the technologies.
Yeah, and I loved your explanation about it, that's a awesome, simple way for everyone to understand it. You know, it's really as simple as that, you know, as remote control. You know,
it's remote control, right?
Just because you can't see it doesn't mean that it's not there, you know.
There is much more out there then we can actually see in real life. The most incredible things that you could measure is actually, imagine I just have the samples of your hair. You send me about 5 or 6.
That's right.
Imagine in a distance, I can put that into a specific chamber, which just looks something like this. Mm-hmm. And it creates a hologram of you in this chamber. And I can open up every cellular structure in your body and find out what's going on there. Obviously, this is not a medical device, but it is an energetic device, and everything is energy. Even when we talk over the phone, even when we talk and how you hear me and how you receive that information, it's also an energy. It's called informational energy. That's the difference, because the most important thing is not what people say to each other. It's how they receive the information between each other.
Right.
So this is more of a tuning, energetic tuning to your body as well.
Yeah.
So imagine sometimes we think we're completely okay, but the device decodes the information that you're a little bit off balance. And imagine it's like a radio, a little bit off, it gives you like a static. Imagine if we tune that radio and you have a perfect sound, that's how your body is. And this is actually what we're doing. We're sending a signal to correct the frequency of that particular organ that's not functioning properly.
Right. Which, speaking of perfect sound, I'm sure when you get around to analyzing my hair later on in the podcast, you'll probably find that perfect sound.
we'll try.
I'm just kidding.
Even if we're done, we'll try to send a signal to correct it.
That would be awesome. Thank you. No, that's great. Yeah. I've seen Michael's technology work in many different applications, and it is remarkable. It is truly remarkable, and it's helped a lot of people who I know and care about, which is why I was so excited to bring him on the show. But
you know, in 12 years, you learn a little bit, not a lot. You learn enough when you teach that certain things are missing. And those are the things that I advance in the technology. I wanted to put more and more information because, to me, everything is informational. So the more information I have, the more I could help. So imagine, let's say, if we're working with a person who has just, let's say, a heart condition. I'm going to give you an example. Imagine if we have just, let's say, the pathomorphology, let's say, what's wrong with the heart, muscular issues. Mm-hmm. That's one way of information. But imagine if we can find out what kind of bacteria's possibilities that he have. That's additional information. Imagine if we can find out the emotions of the heart. Mm-hmm. Because not everything is medicine. Some things is just the way we feel. Some things is just the way we energetically, you know, move it. If we're happy, our energy levels are become higher. If we set. Mm-hmm. So imagine finding on a cellular level what's going on emotionally, or conflicts that we have with not just the brain, but which individual organ. Mm-hmm. That allows us to kind of go a little bit more into the depth. Today, everybody wants to work into the DNA without actually knowing. There is a lot of scientists today studying DNA, but very few people know, you know, exactly how the whole system works. Mm-hmm. It's a very, very complicated system. And when you study it, you're starting to understand, oh my God, it's so complicated that there's no way to reach there. But if we study, let's say, how the emotions of each organs are, why yeah. people get sick, why do we get to this particular level, it is easier for us to set and balance that particular organ so the rest of the organs will start functioning properly.
Right.
Whenever we work with particular organ, it's not really that problem that came from there. The problem could always come from different organs. Let's say there are people who have different issues with the thyroid or with the heart or with digestive issue. It's not just the digestive issue. It's the nerves. Right. So it's how we think, how yeah. we receive the information.
It all comes from someplace, you know.
Everything comes from something. And the NLS matrix decoder allows us to find out where the problems are really energetically coming. Every problem that comes first comes energetically. Mm-hmm. There comes psychologically and then physiologically. So
right.
those are the major three stages.
And
we're trying to catch everything on level of energy.
Where do the emotions come into that, of those three stages? Would that be in the psychological processing of that energy? Is that
yes.
kind of where they, you know?
Yes, I would say most of the time it's most of the problems that we always acquire, it's from the childhood. Yes, of course, there's genetic issues that we are born with, but genetics are only 25 to 33%. Everything else is changeable. So imagine when a child growing up didn't get enough attention mm-hmm. or child didn't get enough love, or he was raised very strict.
Or neglected or abused.
All those little grudges will remain with us as we're children. Then we grow up and we think, oh, we'll let go. In reality, we never let go.
No.
We have difficulties of forgiveness. We cannot forgive. And, you know, when I do the psychological work with some of my clients or patients, the most important thing that I try to always teach people is learn how to forgive. If we can learn how to forgive, then we're capable of loving. If
That's
we
right.
cannot forgive, we can never love.
You know, I'm a huge advocate for this, and I speak to a lot of people who are dealing with, you know, some serious traumas, some serious abuse, you know. And I'm like, if you're not working towards forgiveness, you're not working through it. Because there's a release that comes with that in the body that is hard to describe, you know, in words. And it's magical, you know, and I don't think until you've experienced it, it's hard to tell, you know, people have been wronged and people have been hurt and they have a right to feel the way they feel. But I'm a huge believer in what you're saying. And so to hear you talking about it in a measurable scientific level, it's extraordinary for me because it confirms what I believe.
Thank you. But here's the most important thing. Most people, when we talk about learn how to forgive, we don't want to forgive to help somebody else. We want to forgive so we could be released. Right. We could be free. If we cannot forgive, that means we become the slave to that person that we angry at. So when we kids, we all hold on one or two grudges. But as we grow older, there's problems at work, there's problems with friends, and the more people we start to hold grudges with, the more slavery we become. So it does not allow you to grow because you continuously want to prove yourself that, oh, but I was right, but I was, it's not important. Mm-hmm. We have to learn to let go, not just for them, for ourselves as well, so we can move forward. Because once we hold a grudge, we're stuck, not the person that we hold the grudge against. You know, I keep studying. I'm almost 60 years old. I'm 59.
You look great, Michael. You look great.
Thank you. The reason is, I believe it or not, I study every 2 years. I go and study something new.
That's awesome.
The reason is, I'm always in search of more and more and more information. Because as we think that, okay, this is it, I know everything, this is the first mistake. We never have enough information. We need more all this information to help simplest case, because we all think it's so complicated and things are much, much simpler. Mm-hmm. People get anxiety attacks. People get this without even knowing because they think the whole world is against them.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, now more than ever, it's intense for a lot of people, you know. You worked with two friends of mine, Michael, Lubna, she's actually the one who named the podcast. The first thing out of her mouth when I told her I was doing a podcast was, "You should call it Far Out with Fast." Oh. And I was like, and it's just, you know, it's unique and it's a perfect.
Well, it's good when people think of you in a good way.
yeah, for sure. I'm going to speak to her later tonight, but, you know, you had she had a great experience with you. You know, Angie is who you also know, Angie Takas, who both are so close to me now. We have a meditation group and we meet we call it Time Travel Tuesdays. You know, they both were diagnosed with cancer in various stages, and you. You used one of your inventions to, I mean, they were on a very specific healing journey, you know, and there was no one thing that, you know, cured them, you know, they cured themselves, but
absolutely. Yeah. We don't cure. We don't even want to use that word because the curing part comes at an individual level, but we'll get into it a little bit later. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
I just wanted to ask you to talk a little bit about how you know, without, you know, disclosing personal details,
I'm going to explain to you, every disease, not cancer, any disease that we have, it's for us to kind of stop and try to understand why it's there. Okay?
Yeah.
Now, when we talk about the correction, not the cure, but correction, to create any kind of correction, we have to reach to their consciousness. Most people think consciousness is here. Consciousness is a little bit somewhere around this area of ourselves, okay, consciousness. We have to reach that area and connect it to our thymus, which is right about this area. There is no any kind of healing will happen if we'll not connect those two together. Whenever you work with a person, any person, if you really want to start, you have to open up that channel. There is a big blockage right around here that does not allow us, okay, to reach. So you can do any kind of operations, you can do medication, you can do a million different things. If we do not reach the consciousness, it will be just a waste of energy and time. That's number one. How do you reach that consciousness? What we spoke earlier, to learn how to forgive. And it's a whole process of learning how to forgive. We always, and again, to forgive, not to forgive them.
Right.
Forgive is so we can be free. And of course, the most important thing is once we reach the consciousness, why we get sick, is to understand maybe we're not living, maybe we're not doing something right in this life. Try to realize what it is we're not doing here. there is a purpose why we are here. Each individual person that exists in this world, there's a purpose for them. And we need to find out what that purpose, we have to raise our consciousness to that level to realize why we are here, to do as much as we can. Because if we do not raise our consciousness, anything that we do, the religion part, the meditation, everything is for one purpose, to raise our consciousness. Right. I'll show you what I mean when I say we test it when we'll run a quick scan with your hair samples.
Okay. Okay. well, I mean, should we do that now? Should we get into that?
Ready. I mean, I'm going to explain a little bit what we're going to do, and I'm going to run a very small scan. I'm going to scan maybe your brain and the body, unless there's anything else. And just to explain a little bit the technology. Just
sounds good.
A small sample of 5 samples of your hair.
That's right. I dropped off some samples.
Anything that you would like.
I dropped off a few samples of my hair in Michael's office the other day. Now, Michael, you could also do this if I was sitting with you, right?
I could do that people come to the office. I could do it in the office. I could do it with the hair samples. I could do it with fingernails. And we can do it with the blood on a glass. Anything that creates DNA, I could create a hologram of your DNA in that small chamber that I showed you earlier.
Right.
It's going to go right in here, and it creates a hologram of your entire body. So it's though you're sitting right next to me.
Awesome. That's amazing for people who maybe see this and want to, try it out and see where they're at with this stuff. So,
I wanted to mention why this technology is important, because it allows us to catch information before it's actually there. So imagine if there's, God forbid, pre-cancerous or pre-diabetes or pre-anything. Imagine catching it in super, super early stages. So the difference between medicine and measuring technologies are two different things. In medicine, we can only see something when it already appears there, when it's already on your body, when something comes out.
Yeah,
we could catch it way, way earlier and prevent it. I like to create this always a story that, imagine if you see somebody crossing the street and you see a car passing and gonna hit him and you stop them. You stop the car, passes, nothing will happen to him. But if you don't stop him and they pass and the car will hit him, it's a completely different work. So
that's right.
This will be more like a energetic preventive thing. And I said, some people believe it, some people don't believe it. In science, it's a very complicated, because a scientist will always make small errors. But in doing certain things X amount of time and helping X amount of people energetically, it creates a big shift. It creates a tremendous help, because they're starting to look at life completely different.
That's right.
It's not looking at things that are invisible.
It's so important. It's much more important than I think most people realize yet. Although it's catching on more and more.
Yes,
how much of an impact it has,
The technologies are moving forward. So yes, if you like, just let me know. How do I put this screen on for you?
Okay, let's do it.
I'll try to start up a quick thing for you. So. Do I go into screen share right here?
If you go to share screen.
Okay, I got it. So what we're going to do is just check the head.
Check to see if I have a brain.
Yeah, everybody has a brain. We want to make sure that it's workable. And we're going to check this.
Yeah, check to see if it's actually working.
Okay, and then again, if you want anything, we could always edit. And we're just going to run a quick scan, and what it does, it circles around that hair sample that we put in the chamber and measures it. So there is a slight cloggage in your nose area. We'll take a look what it is.
Okay.
There's a slight issue with the lungs, slight issue with the digestive. So let's go and take a look what's going on, okay? So as we click on the head area, click on the test. And here, the first thing that we want to take a look is what kind of issues could be. So, you know what? I'm going to have to move this a little bit to the side here so I could press the button. So, plug auto model. So, we do have slight respiratory infection, slight cloggage in your nose.
I wonder if that cloggage in my nose is just from sinuses.
Let's take a look. Since you want this. So here we can take a look pretty much in everything. So there is a slight rhinovirus. So it also can decode a lot of bacteria, let's say any kind of bacteria that exist. It's in a library. Your main issue would be rhinovirus and...
That's like an old cold virus, right?
Yeah, right there. So now you wanted to see if there is like allergens, you said?
Or sinuses, I thought.
Sinuses, we can check that as well. Let's take a look. Sinuses. I have to look for everything now that you tell me. But usually when I work with the brain, I like to check the conflicts, like the things that we don't like to do.
Right.
Let's take a look. Like you see, like here it's an interesting thing. We haven't been able to forgive. So always try to learn. This is like one of the things that we spoke earlier. Try to learn that. And even though we are working on it, it doesn't mean that we're not doing it. We are doing it. We have to just continue to try to do more of it. Okay, so that's one thing. Now let's take a look if there's any mystic stream. Mystic stream will tell us a little bit more. Ooh, so there is. So there's a lot of conversations that you're having with yourself. So it will improve and help you if you have more positive conversations.
Okay.
Okay, as far as the nervousness goes, nervousness. See, the nervousness is a little bit off balance. Let's see what you should be doing professionally. Professionally is a very, very important thing for us to do. So, you know, you're very intelligent. You see what it says? Noble. Noble, that means no matter what you do, you'll succeed.
Awesome.
So, doesn't matter. As long as you're happy, no matter what you will do, you will succeed.
Great.
You're also very good in dealing with people and stuff like this. I'm not going to go too deep into the relationship, but it has all these things. So we're going to skip all this because it's a little bit personal. But I would really want to take a look at all the issues that you have to watch out for.
Okay.
As a male, okay? So this
would be it.
So the issues that losses. Memory and kidneys, those are the things you need to watch out for.
Okay.
So here we have 5,000 different athletes that we could look. So just working with the brain, we can take hours and hours to look in. Spinal supplement, we have the oncology here, which we don't want to go through. We have the 1 year and 5 year prognosis, what you need to really look for. So you need to watch out for your thinking process mainly, okay? You can check for heavy metals. It's a little bit aluminum, iodine, and terephthalate. There are slight heavy metals that I will try to give you some corrections afterwards.
Okay.
Let's say we see that silver or aluminum is way too high. Aluminum is too high. I can click an aluminum and create homeopathy.
Right.
Directly for you. And what I'll do, I'll just put a little cup, or in the same cup, I'll put a little bit of water or something, or alcohol or sugar or paraffin, and then I just click start, and I will create homeopathy to get rid of the toxicity that's in your body without doing anything, okay, without prescribing any medication. Again, homeopathy created on basis of energy. What we put there, okay? So that will be one way. We can do a lot of things. We can test what will be the best supplement for you.
Right.
What will be anything, we could figure it out, what your body needs. Let's say, what will be the best supplement for you? Everything will be right in here. So let's say we don't have that supplement. So Ivaloxin will be the best supplement for you. We don't have it. We can create it for you.
Right.
In the same patch, we can go into the printer, boom, and create it for you and then ship it to you, and you don't have to buy any medicine or go.
It's amazing.
It's amazing. So that's how advanced this technology is. Now look at this. Imagine that we have a little blockage right here by this sinuses, which I'm going to get to because it's all blocked here, but I can give you a correction right now. So you're sitting somewhere in New York and I'm somewhere in Pennsylvania, but what I can do is give you a correction, and in about 45 minutes to an hour, your sinuses will open up.
Sounds great.
You know, it's not just great. It's sort of like unbelievable because the technology exists, but it's like you're sitting in completely one end and I'm sitting in, and it doesn't matter the distance that we are.
Right.
Because we are talking on the phone, we're hearing each other. So why can't we send a signal through your DNA?
Right.
And then this DNA is like a barcode that will find out exactly where you are. And then we see how well you correct it. So we can go into the analysis and to find out. So it's about 50% improvement. So this will be the before and this will be the after on the other side. So right now you will start feeling a little bit better.
I mean, I swear to God, it felt like it opened up like in the last 10 seconds. So like, I'm not even just saying that. I have no reason to lie.
I understand, but it is. So now let's take a look, because we do see a slight issue with the lungs, which imagine you probably don't even feel anything, but what we can do is provide, first of all, find out what's going on there, which I think is super important to find out what's going on.
Sure.
So it shows us an issue in the right lung. So what we can go is directly into the right lung and try to scan that area to see exactly what's going on there. Okay, so there it is. And now we can go into the right lung. So there is a slight infection with the lungs. We're going to try to give you corrections on that. So if we're going to go to see a lung specialist, I'll tell you what they will tell you. Okay, one sec.
Okay.
Got to go to the respiratory. Again, there's so many things here that you have to constantly search for it. Respiratory right here. So it is a pulmonary issue and a slight flu. Okay, so I'm going to try to create a correction for you as well.
Sure.
I'm going to give you a correction directly on the lungs. Exit. We'll go to methotherapy and hopefully that will take care of that. But let's say if I would want to create homeopathy for you, if I would find something more complicated, I will be able to create even homeopathy for you and then send it to you so you can take it as, you know, a couple of times today, and that will take care of the problem. But I think we could take care of it like this as well.
Okay.
So you see how the lungs are improved. So right now we can go into the analysis and take a look how well you responded. Again, 45% improvement on your lungs. So that should be taken care of as well.
Awesome. You know what you got to check for me, Michael?
Talk to you.
Check my superpowers. Check my my psychic powers and see if I am registering anything.
Okay. we did check that, but let me just give you a correction on the body here as well. And then I'm going to go back and I'm going to show you something really interesting, what's possible to do. I mean, this is just the basic. We're not going to go too deep into it. I just want to make sure that since we're working on the organ, I'll give you full correction so you get benefit out of this at least. Have some warm tea at night before you go to sleep and keep your lungs warm. That should get rid of the bacteria. But I think we did a good job today. Your body responded well, as always. So now you wanted to see your superpower. So we can do that.
Cool.
We can do anything you can imagine. So let's go and check your brain, okay?
Okay.
We'll check your brain on a level that it will give us a little bit more information. And again, you said you have all those organs. You have over 900 organs that you could check, which is, I think, more than enough to find out what's going on in the entire body. So this is the brain, and you tell me what you want me to check in your brain. And that it was pretty much all the information that you...
Let's see. I mean, can you check for general clairvoyance? Can you check for...
Yes. Let's check the general, which will be pathology, and then we'll go into the psychic things that you always like to...
Okay, cool.
Main issue with you will be nervousness. You have to control your nerves.
Yeah.
Your mystic stream is very high. You see right here? It's infinity. Yeah. So the reason things sometimes could drive you crazy... It's because of this. Your mystic stream is so high that you create what you think.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say if you think something's going to fall, someone's going to trip, they will fall, they will trip.
Yeah.
But let's say if you think this is going to work out, this is going to work out. That's how strong your mystic stream is. This stream actually drives you crazy. You don't know how to control it. Just so you know, professionally, you will build a big, big, big business.
Great.
You see what it says, a shipbuilder, also infinity. So anything that you won't touch.
Nice.
It will become, and you know, I hope you don't think I'm saying this because this, I'm saying things.
No, I know you wouldn't do that.
I'm showing it to you. You know, we're not guessworking. We're actually measuring the frequency energetically of your hair.
Right.
You know, and those are showing up. So if it's showing up, we're measuring your DNA, nobody else's.
Right.
If I measure me, it will be completely different, you know.
Right.
But the shipbuilder means that you will create a big, big business.
Awesome.
So good luck to you. Again,
thank you, Michael.
Choose the things that you will do.
I will. I am.
carefully. I mean, hope this was interesting for you informationally. But we just checked like 2 or 3 organs. We gave you some corrections on those organs. You know, we don't know how long those corrections last.
Right.
We don't. Unfortunately, not because we don't, because it's each individual how stable they are.
Eventually, when humanity wakes up to this other side of the material world that they think they're living in, you know, it's going to become part of how we analyze the physical body. I mean,
this is the future of medicine. It's not just Nietzsche. I mean, Einstein would say, that everything's going to be in frequencies.
Yeah.
Even the future of technologies and medicine and everything's still going to come back. Sooner or later, we are moving forward. And people will come out and start using those technologies, maybe even in medicine, but we can use it in anything.
Right. You know, without getting too controversial, what you feel is going on right now on the planet with COVID-19 and, you know, kind of the effects it's having on society? I know it's tough to answer that question, but without getting...
I'll give you my thoughts to it. The COVID is definitely there.
Mm-hmm.
It's a virus, but it's a virus like any other virus. It's not the killer virus that was, let's say, previously. Yes, it killed X amount of people, but most people that had COVID did not die because they only had COVID. They had other issues as well. Mm-hmm. COVID is treatable. Mm-hmm. It's treatable between, I would say, 3 to 10 days. Okay. We have treated several cases just with homeopathy. Mm-hmm. We treated certain cases with just the same crystal card that you have, we recorded those particular frequencies.
Right.
Why is it there? I still don't know. I'm sure it's a financial gain for certain big companies to create vaccine, to create this. Another version is to scare people. Throughout the centuries, there are always technologies to scare us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's including not just the bacteria, but including terrorists, including everything.
Yeah.
It's to scare us, to have us under. When we're afraid, we are easier controlled.
Right.
Do we have to be scared from the COVID? No. But do we have to be careful? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, people in China always were carrying face masks to protect themselves. It's a cultural issue.
Mm-hmm.
Here in the United States, people used to cough. This is a completely different change.
Right.
Of culture for American people, but it's a great cultural change. It's not a big deal if somebody's coughing to cover themselves up.
Right.
I remember I used to go into the planes or train and I would hear people coughing, sneezing like nothing.
Right.
Now everybody's cultural cough, they cover themselves. I think it's a good, positive thing.
In Wuhan, they were protesting the level of pollution in Wuhan in 2009. I mean, and that speaks to how polluted it must have been, because the Chinese don't just protest, you know. It has to be pretty bad if they're taken to the streets. But I mean, apparently that's how polluted Wuhan was. And I feel like, you know,
and it you're still talking is, about, but...
yeah, it's, I'm still is. And, you know, it's as we continue to pollute, you know, and all the different ways we do it, I feel like, you know, these respiratory viruses, they're going to keep popping up.
But not to create fear, because fear is the only thing that we cannot cure.
Right.
You know, we can cure cancer, we can cure, but fear is something that continues growing and growing and growing. And the reason we cannot cure it, because it's an individual level.
Right.
and we think, oh, it's all the same. We're all afraid of the same things, but yeah. Some people learn how to handle it. And I've seen some toughest guys that will just give in into smallest fear.
Yeah.
Something. So it's not about how tough we are. It's how powerful we are mentally.
Yes.
What we can handle.
Yeah.
Fear attacks the immune system.
It does.
The immune system cannot fight it. And that's why people get ghost viruses. Yeah. So imagine if we're all afraid, then everything we sneeze, oh, it's a COVID. We right. talk, it's COVID. It's not.
Right.
And, you know, even the tests that they provide, they're not 100% accurate.
No, they're not even. They're
and
not.
Even the thing that they're trying to, you know, inject us with, they still haven't tested properly.
Oh, I know.
Once they test those things properly, it requires at least 5 to 10 years.
Exactly.
They cannot test it in 1 year unless they already had it ready.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? And from what I'm seeing in the, quote, clinical trials, it doesn't seem like they had that ready.
Well, we had, yeah. I was listening to a Russian president, Putin, that, oh, we will not put it out. Again, you know, presidents lied in the past, and they will continue. Politics is part of lying. But it will not be ready as soon as they think that, you know, it's ready. Russia already says that they have it ready. I think Israel saying that they have it ready.
Right.
I think United States is going to say in about another week or so that they have the ready. To have something ready, it's not that complicated. But to have it ready properly.
Is everything.
That's a whole different thing. And properly, I mean, what side effects do we get out of this vaccine?
Yeah.
You know, the vaccines might not hurt us right away. The vaccine might do damage, let's say, in 6 months, in 2 years.
That's right. And you know that they're going to be totally indemnified for any liability.
You know, if they want to get rid of the population, then that will be the one way to do it.
That's right.
But again, you know, I hate to get into politics. But to get into the science of what's going on, scientifically, it's a much bigger picture. Mm-hmm. Then they're creating a much bigger picture than what's reality. The reality is just a flu. That's how I look at it.
Yeah.
If somebody calls me with the COVID, I'd say, don't worry, we'll take care of it. But if something will happen to them, it's not because they had COVID.
Right.
It's because they had some other issues as well.
More than one, likely, you know, more than one other issue. Yeah. So what do you think happens? Do you believe in reincarnation? And what do you think happens when you die?
So it's a good question. People always ask me questions like that if I believe in God. And so I want to start with, it's not important what I believe. And it's not important what you believe. Important what it is. And absolutely, we are reincarnating. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing is sometimes we choose how we come back. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we don't. And that's all according how we die. Mm-hmm. If we're consciously erased, if our consciousness are higher, not financially, please don't think that if you're wealthy, you'll come back as wealthy.
Right.
No, it's all how the consciousness is. There are certain schools that teaches you those things, you know. Of course, we're coming back, but sometimes we can choose how we come back.
Right.
And sometimes we can't, and then we just come back and we are lost in this world. So sometimes when I see certain people who are lost.
Yeah.
Those are the people who came back without the choice. They just came back because they said, oh, let me fix a couple of things.
Yeah.
But not knowing how to, and they're still going through it. And they can go through it thousands or times, unfortunately.
Yeah. You are an enlightened individual, Michael. Your answers reflect some of the most profound things that I've learned and come to know. You know,
thank you.
So it's amazing to hear them from you, because you are so analytical and scientific. So it's just I love when these things marry.
You have to always be open to everything, because even in science, you know, it's very difficult for us to believe in something that we've never seen, let's say, like God. Mm-hmm. But imagine if we do not believe in God, how vibrationally will be our bodies, our consciousness, our vibration will completely get off. You know, I have a lot of clients who come in with certain diseases, you know. Mm-hmm. And one of the diseases It's when they have those things coming out on their skin, like eczema. And they always ask me, why do I get this? Why do I get this? You know, and when I measure it, and when I measure the emotions of it, but it's called the flower of life. One is something positive, and then there is a flower from the devil. And a flower from the devil, it means when you start believing in God. So right away, it starts giving you some sort of things on your hand, eczema on your face, those dry, thick skins. And this is what they call it, start believing in something. And once we start believing in something, there is really no purpose. Then we just live to make money and survive this one life. And that's what you said, if people come back, reincarnation. We keep going to come back, but they're going to keep coming back as not grown people yet.
They're going to keep coming back until they get it.
Until they get it. Right. Unfortunately, you know, and that's a shame, but I cannot change the... They do say that at one point, it's going to open up, you know. We're going to be able to see more than we see now.
Yeah, I'm sure, you know. And I feel like that's when our technology, that's when our, that's when everything is going to take off. You know, I was just having this conversation too. You know, it's like we tend to measure everything. I mean, I know you don't, but a lot of science spends its time studying the material, the physical, the density, you know, and they leave out, you know, especially in medicine, what I think is the most important. And because, you know, once you understand the true physics of it, you know that energetically everything that is happening begins there, you know. And so,
you know, the biggest part that I see in medicine, just so you would understand, is they're incredible what they accomplished today. It's incredible. But what to me is amazing that they don't do is that they can do incredible surgeries, they can do incredible medication, but what they never look at the cause of the problem.
Yes.
And to me, this is like a number one problem. How could you fix somebody just giving them medication or doing a surgery if we cannot fix the cause of the problem?
That's the sick care system. That's what I call it.
Like a lot of doctors come to me, you know, not believing in anything I do, which I'm okay with, you know. But then after one session, just one session, if they allow me to do one session, they completely change their outlook on medicine. They don't understand it, but they change it.
Yeah. You know? And it opens a lot, it opens eyes, it opens a lot of doors, you know, because there's a whole nother world.
There's a whole other world. We don't have to look at everything as medicine. Sometimes we can look at energy, sometimes we can look as information. To me, it's called informational energy.
Right.
And because that energy is just a source. It could be good or bad.
Right. And that's homeopathy, right? That's the definition of homeopathy.
Similar to homeopathy.
A homeopathy.
But everything is informational energy in healing process. So, like, say, my favorite is the story when I studied psychology is a mother who had twins.
I'm a twin, too. Do you know that? I'm an identical twin.
Oh, great.
We got to get you my brother's hair sample.
A mother sees the twins fighting when they're kids, and she goes, "You guys are driving me crazy. One day I will see you in a crazy house." 30 years later, they both end up in a crazy house.
Except
one is a patient, one is a doctor.
Wow.
So she said the same information. Both of them received it completely different. So that's why it's all information. How I said and how somebody else received it is strictly up to them. That's why it's all information. It's how we receive information. That's why kids, you have 40 kids in a class, you have two A students, a couple of B students, and, you know, on and on. The teacher says the same thing to everyone.
Right.
It's the information that does not get to them properly. So those are the blockages from the psychological, from the childhood, how they are raised.
I know all about those.
Is there enough love? Is there enough strictness? On and on and on.
Yeah, I know all about those. So let's get far out, Michael. With DARPA and the Navy, you know, releasing all this UFO footage recently, and, you know, the Pentagon getting funded, now we have the Space Force, and, you know, have you ever, you know, had a UFO experience, and if so, you know, what do you think their agenda is? Is there an agenda?
Didn't have UFO experiences, but we studied research people who claimed to see UFOs. We spoke to several of them. Mm-hmm. We actually tried to analyze them as well. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give you an example about 48 people that we analyzed, mm-hmm. including in a team. About 45 were had slight schizophrenia. Schizophrenia means that they saw things, they talked to things, a little bit right. of issues with the brain. But three, they were absolutely normal people. So let's forget about the 45. Let's talk about the three. So there are possibilities that they did see them.
Right.
Because we did the lie detectors. We did a lot of different tests, you know. And those three completely passed everything.
Wow.
According to them, they are aliens. They mm-hmm. are, there are other
mm-hmm. beings.
I don't know how to call them. You know,
they call them beings.
There are other yeah. species in this space. Mm-hmm. Because we don't know about them, it doesn't mean they do not exist.
Right.
So let's say that they do exist. What do they want? That's the question.
Right.
And I don't believe it's only one type of difference. I believe that different.
Yeah, different beings, different agendas.
Yeah, different beings, you know. And even life on Mars should be there. Just because we cannot see it doesn't mean that it's not there.
I've been saying that too, right along. Yeah.
Okay, so now let's talk. What do they want? Of course, some want destruction. Mm-hmm. Some want peace. That's the bottom line.
Right.
If everybody wanted peace, then I think our worlds will never disappear.
Yeah.
It continued disappearing every 60,000 years or so. And new era keeps coming in, and our history has never been correct, actually.
Right.
After
right.
the COVID, I completely stopped believing in history
right.
whatsoever. But what's the truth? And that's where we are lost. Mm-hmm. Not as a scientist, but as people, because what's real, we don't know anymore. As far as what they told us, those three that we're talking about, okay?
Yeah.
That, let's say, the next 10 years,
yeah.
10 years, we will already, it will be publicly open.
Yeah, it'll finally be public.
I would say 7 to 10 years.
Yeah. And they're fast-tracking some things now with disclosure and, they're piecemealing it and they're being
I don't know if we're ready for it. I don't know if we're ready.
I don't, you know, and I never really wanted to admit that, but the last 6 months have taught me a lot about where we're at, you know, the barometer of humanity with the level of fear that we, you know, that much of humanity has been sucked into in the last 6 months. I've changed my thinking to, you know, maybe we're not ready. I mean, I'm not saying they should have been lying to us for the last 80 years with what they know, but I mean, yeah.
I think that we are never ready for things until they happen. We were never ready for COVID. They happened. We handled it. You know, some of mm-hmm. us didn't, but some of us, most of us handled it. I think life is sort of like it throws that thing at you. And
yep.
then you have to sort of, if you're strong, you survive. And if you're weak, you won't.
Right.
I think with the new things coming to our world and they're going to keep coming.
Right.
Regardless, we want to accept it. Like, let's say the 5G people didn't want it. They're going to come in. They're going to come in with it regardless what we want.
Right.
You know, the politics of the world are so powerful. Those people who are controlling us.
Yeah.
You know, that no matter how much we are going to fight or this, it's just useless because they have their plan. They
right.
have the finance for it to do it.
Right.
And we have to learn to adapt.
Right.
We humans like cockroaches. You know, we have to be adaptive.
Yeah, we do have to be adaptive, yeah.
We have to be. And then whatever they throw at us, yes, it will be scary a little bit in the beginning, but I think then we'll learn.
Right.
Learn how to handle it, and we'll learn how to move on. The biggest thing, again, as I said, is never to be afraid.
Right.
To move forward.
Right.
You know?
And the human body, you know, we are resilient, but you know, the cockroach may be slightly more resilient. It has longer.
I hate to use that kind of terms.
But there's a reason why they've been around since before the dinosaurs.
Been around since, you know.
You know, we're a young species.
How did they survive? They
right.
survived.
Right. They adjusted.
Well.
Yeah. Do you believe that? Aliens, what we would call aliens, extraterrestrials, or you know, that kind of energy had an influence. Like, on human evolution.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't think we as people are that intelligent to have those kind of technologies today on our own. And I'm going to tell you how the technologies usually comes to you. So let's say like you meditate, mm-hmm. you know, and you have this idea. And that idea just becomes out of nowhere. How do you think this idea came to you? It's an informational idea. They call it a monkey effect. So let's say one monkey opened up a banana and ate it, and another monkey just had the same signal on the other side of the island and opened up the banana and ate it the same way.
Right.
It's an information. So I think extraterrestrial, whatever you want to call them, they are passing signals.
Yes.
To whom? I don't know. How do we get there? Some people meditate. Some people take drugs. I don't approve of any of those things, but I'm just saying some people have an opening that nobody else has. Mm-hmm. How do they get to that opening? It's not because they went to school.
Right.
It's an idea.
Right.
Let's say that car that you have, mm-hmm. that was developed by one of my partners who passed away. He had an opening. Mm-hmm. That opening that even he created that car, he created that chip that nobody else, I have the patent and I cannot create it. Can you imagine?
Wow. So
there is something else that's small that is missing in the patent that nobody else knows.
Yeah. And it's consciousness, right? And it's all consciousness. So
all receiving a signal, it all comes through the meditation.
That's right.
Same with you. You could have those openings, mm-hmm. but you have to be in the right state of mind.
Right.
And again, it shows the meditation that if you can get involved into something, and it's not going to happen in one day or in 10 years. It could happen at any time.
Right.
It's consciously you have to be prepared for it. And if you're not ready, you're not going to get it. But if you are ready, that information will come to you. So now imagine if those aliens or particular signal that you want to get that information, they will send you that information.
Right. Now, I believe that too.
The way that I understand it, that it works. Because when we spoke, again, those kind of informations doesn't come to everybody. Mm-hmm. But when we measure those people that we spoke to, that's how they receive the information. Right. Psychologically, maybe they never left their houses. But mentally, they were outside in a spaceship, somewhere traveling, they had conversations.
Right. And I agree with all of that. Do you think that like Elon Musk has been suggesting that, you know, we're living in a simulation, in a virtual reality of sorts?
That is a theory in science.
Yeah.
Do I believe it? Partially.
Yeah.
No. You know, again, we have to judge everything. We have to look at all the possibilities. And if we think that we looked at all the possibilities and that's it, no. There's still a million other possibilities that we never looked at.
Right.
So possibilities are always there. There are a couple of jokes that I could say, but I wouldn't want to say it. Maybe next time I'll meet, I'll tell you. But they're always possible. Okay. Always. You know, there are no one way of looking at things. There are several different, you know, even if you look at the circle, it's still not just circle from all around. If you look at it, there will be slight shifts.
It changes with your perspective and, you know, with the consciousness of the observer. What do you think about artificial intelligence? And do you think it's going to turn into this, you know, technological nightmare that our movies love to portray? What do you think?
That's a little bit scary, but it will be there, yeah. They are working. I'm sure you know that they already have a couple of robots already made. They're completely communicating right now. But when you ask them one question, what is the future? Destruction, the human destruction. My question would always be, like, why? Why do most of us want to heal and improve this world, and yet we're destructive?
Yeah.
Which part are we not doing properly? So let's say you have all those millionaires, you know, who are trying to donate money for this particular organizations to do that. But in reality, when you look deep inside of it, it's a completely different ballgame over there. So I think at one point something has to change.
Yeah, there has to be a fundamental shift.
Yeah.
you know,
because we can all work, do good, and then something bad happens. Like even with politics, what's going on today?
Yeah,
it should never be at that level.
No, it should never be at that. I mean, like, you know, talk about a broken system. Look at what we.
I thought Nixon outdid everybody, but Nixon is an angel.
Man, we. I mean,
I'll take him back anytime.
Nixon makes them. I mean, Nixon makes them all look like, you know. I mean, it was almost like he was the their little sidekick. I mean, like,
yeah,
I mean,
yeah, exactly. No, that's
like none of them. You know, what he was thrown out for, you know, or about to be thrown out for. I forget which one, but you know, they. This is just common for all. You know, even the ones who we think of as, oh, he was a good president, you know, but they were still doing all that, you know.
Yeah, today is like, again, we have to, when I look at history between Hitler, between Stalin, between all this, I have my doubts that everything is written as properly. Yes, everything that happened, we know.
Yeah.
But why and how, I'm not sure anymore.
Right.
It's one thing what we studied, it's another thing what really happened. I have different versions already.
Right. So let's go far out one more time. Let's say that you were getting on a spaceship and you were gonna take a hiatus from the planet, right? And while you were heading out, you passed, you know, a spaceship coming in, and it was a few aliens on there, and they were like, wait, you know, before you go, we're going to go and live among the humans. If you had three bits of advice for us, what would you tell them? You know, what do they need to know?
What would they need to know? How to make this a better place to be in.
Mm-hmm.
How to make this world so people won't suffer so much. You know, it's very hard when you see people who are dying without help.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about cancer patients, I'm talking about people who are born sick. If the new generation, with all the technology, you know, that we have, we should be able to help people. On the other hand, the quality of life should be better. I don't want to live 100 years in misery. I want to live 50 right. years, but happy. You know, to have some sort of balance, I'd rather enjoy that part of my life than some people live in the disease world forever, yeah. ever and ever. And I think this is affecting not just them, it's also affecting the people live around them.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It changes the whole life of a lot of people. So in my perspective, in today's technologies, I think the future should be, you know, to be able to actually help people more. You know, war. This is the biggest war that we have. So if we would consider World War III as an atomic bomb war,
yeah,
this is World War III, because what they did, they block your traveling. You cannot travel. So yes. What's the purpose of war? So everything is shut down.
Yeah.
I would stop the war. Yeah. If you live in this United States, there are always wars going up somewhere in this world.
Yeah.
Let that be Syria, this. Everywhere there's a small war. The war is created for one purpose, to keep us locked up in one area.
Yeah.
Why I call this situation war? Because we cannot travel. And you know, when you're going to be able to travel, we're going to have the vaccine.
Right.
So if they vaccinate you, you could travel. And if you, that means you are stuck.
Right.
You are a prisoner.
That's the end game. That's the national security state.
What I would recommend is, of course, to try to figure it out. Sure, everybody will all want to live a long life, but try to figure out how this world is going to be in the future as far as living. If we're going to continue living in fear, it's not life.
No, it's not.
It's a survival. I would recommend to try to them, because they must be more intelligent than I am, how to create a world when there is no war.
I love that. Okay, one more.
War and fear, I guess. Fear and war.
Fear and war. I mean, they're
because
similar.
War is created so you'll be afraid.
Right. Speaking of world wars, you know, and China, and like, I mean, you know, I'm of the belief that we've seen the last of the world wars, but it's like you said, what's going on right now is really truly no different. All the, you know, economy, everything is being transferred for a cause, you know. I mean, it's under the auspices of COVID, but we've seen $585 billion transfer into the hands of very select few and, you know, different organizations. You know, do you think that there'll be another war like with China, and what do you think the outcome would be?
You know, when you talk about China, Russia, all those big, they have the technology to go to war. Mm-hmm. I think they decided not to do that. And that's why the COVID was designed. Hmm. Because to kill people through those technologies, through those weapons, it's destruction of buildings, destruction of history, yeah. Destruction of architecture, destruction, when there's an easier way to kill.
Yeah.
And this is exact same as war. I mean, I've been through war, several different ones, mm-hmm. In Israel. This is war because we cannot travel anywhere.
Yeah.
Everything is locked. You are under control. You know, even those masks that you wear, it's to control you.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure everybody already knows by now, those masks don't do anything.
I know.
No, but, you know, people wear it and like, I mean, yes, it's great. I love it. I'm not against it. But right. When we look at the reality, Why are we at this war right now? Again, because of the politics. And again, I don't want to go, but this is all to control us. In Russia, because I grew up on the communist, you know, regime, you have to follow the rules.
Right.
Our country, United States, we came to this free country to be free, are trying to control.
That's right.
Our population of free people.
That's right.
The way they're controlling it is by fear.
That's right.
If you don't do this, everybody will die.
Right.
And if you don't do, everybody will hate you.
Right.
Or they'll kill you.
Or they'll fine you. Or they won't let you pay. They won't pay you, you know.
Yeah. So you have to follow the rules. And again, rules are great. They're made by the laws and they're made by this. But the rules are to control us.
Right.
Even in religion, we have rules. Mm-hmm. Again, to control us. Then the freedom disappears.
That's right.
And the consciousness gets blocked out because, oh my God, I cannot think that, because if I think that, it's wrong.
That's right. I mean, it's a restriction on freedom. It's any restriction on freedom is a restriction on joy, you know, and I don't just mean, you know, freedom to do whatever you want, but freedom with consideration, freedom to pursue your life, you know, without fear.
Today, we are prisoners. We cannot go. You cannot travel to Europe. You cannot go back to Europe. You cannot go to Caribbean. You cannot go anywhere.
Yeah.
So what are we? We are in war.
Yeah.
We are in war because...
Never thought about that. Yeah.
Not because of something going on.
Right.
So instead of shooting those atomic bombs, they put a vaccine and will kill X amount of people.
Yeah.
That vaccine, until it's not going to be tested properly, has to be under supervision, and people should not just go and do it.
I mean, I've been saying it, Michael. I've been saying it. You know, I hear people say they're just gonna get it, and I'm like, you don't have any idea what you're just gonna get. You know, I mean, it's like literally.
In six months, you're just putting yourself in the thing that, hey, they don't want you. They'll destroy you.
That's right.
One button. That's it. You're gonna be just like a computer, used car, whatever. One button, and you're
people
out.
Don't realize it. I think they realize it, but they don't want to believe it. So they're in denial about it.
I agree with that more than it. They don't want to believe it.
They don't want to believe it. That's what it is.
Because they still believe in...
Yeah.
I don't hate to say fairy tales.
Yeah. No, that's what it is. It's fantasy. I mean, and look, I wasn't that long ago I believed in that too. And then I hate to use the term I woke up, but I mean, you literally kind of, you're like, holy shit. This is what's really going on. Once you see that, you can't unsee it. You can't pretend. You can't go back, you know. But so, Michael, I have one more important question I'd love asking.
Okay. Let's do that, and then we could summarize.
Okay. So if you were leaving the planet and you were going to give humanity one teaching or one... You know, one mantra, one, you know, one tidbit of knowledge or wisdom, what would you tell them that you feel would have a benefit for all
You know, I would tell them what I told you in the beginning when we started the show. Practice learning how to forgive.
Yeah.
I think even that fear is being created because we are partially angry at certain things. So by being able to forgive, again, not for benefit people who done wrong to us, but for us to be free. And, you know, freedom is a really, really expensive price that we pay. We constantly fight for it. We go for wars for it. We even die for it. But if we learn how to forgive, then we are free in our mind.
Yeah.
And that's the only freedom that we really can, you know, have right now. We have to have our minds free. It doesn't matter what the government, what the people, everybody will always try to control us, but we have to be free in our soul and in our mind.
So well said. So well said. And I...
So that's what I will...
Man, that's everything.
If I practice certain things in my 24-hour every day, I meditate X amount, 1 hour, 2 hours, doesn't matter. I practice forgiveness.
Yeah.
And again, you know, people always think, but how can I forgive this or how can I forgive that? You know, it's a choice.
It is a choice.
You want to be slave, be my, but you want to be free, you let them go. You don't forgive them, you know, and forget. No, you forgive them so you can move forward.
That's right.
And you could live in peace. Why can people sleep? I cannot do this. Because you're constantly angry. So if I don't do one thing is, you know, if I talk to my daughter, if I talk to my close friends, I always teach them and remind them, learn how to forgive.
Yeah.
If I've done anything, please forgive me. If I did this, you know, in every religion, they have this forgiveness. Even in Jewish religion, they have this Yom Kippur. One day that you have to forgive everything. You know, and everyone.
Yeah.
But it's not.
They should have a global holiday.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle.
Yeah.
Once you learn how to do this, it becomes your lifestyle. It's not worth it. Move forward.
That's it's really not worth it. And you can, you know, you want to, you just wish them well. You just wish that person well, you know. And by wishing them well, you're wishing yourself well.
Exactly. You know, that's the part, if you ask me, that's the part that I would try to teach my daughter. So if that would be the most important thing that I would teach her, that's what I would give to the world.
Yeah, I love that. That would
learn. Because to me, she would be like the most important person that I would wish well for.
Right.
You know, like she's it's my life. It's and this is what I would want to teach her, to be forgiving.
It's an extraordinary gift you'd be teaching her. That's amazing. Michael, this has been fantastic, man. I'm so...
My pleasure. I hope this was interesting for your viewers.
Oh, I mean, I don't know how it couldn't be. It was so interesting for me. I mean, I guess we'll find out, but...
I guess we will. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on this show.
Thanks, Michael.
And we'll talk soon.
Yes, we will. Thanks again. Appreciate it, Michael.
Take care.
Take care.
All the best to you guys. Take care.